Today's Wednesday of the octave of Easter, or you could call it Easter Wednesday, because it's still Easter. These first 8 days of the season of Easter are days to continually return to the extraordinary event that took place on the third day. On this day, we have a special gift that both of the readings are extraordinary. It's like going to a great feast. And anyone who loves pondering the Word, which is, I think, everybody here, people who love pondering the Word of God, should love Wednesday of the octave of Easter, because both readings are great for pondering. The Gospel takes us again to Easter Day. The first reading takes us no longer to the day of Pentecost, but to an event a little bit after Pentecost, as the church was starting to grow, the great healing of the lame man. Usually I spend more time focused on the Gospel because it's such a great Gospel. Today I'd like to focus more on the first reading. But the Gospel, we should at least point out, is a revelation of the newness that has broken in on us with the resurrection. Something that these two men walking to Emmaus do not yet know. It's Easter Day. This is Luke's account of Easter Day. I always find it so wonderful that in Luke's Gospel, the very first words of the risen Lord are not "peace be with you" or "do not be afraid." The very first words of the risen Lord Jesus are, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" Now that's something to ponder. Why would he start by saying, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" Doesn't it reveal that the risen Lord, who has accomplished the greatest possible thing for us, is still concerned about what is preoccupying us? He still wants a personal connection with us. He wants to know what we experience. Now, he wants us to know what he experienced. He wants us to know that he's risen from the dead, but he also wants us to know that he's concerned about us. What are we discussing as we walk along? Most of us are discussing the skyrocketing prices of fuel. And that's an everyday part of our conversation now. How are we going to make it with fuel prices twice what they were 2 weeks ago? Someone yesterday told me that they just raised the cost of the tricycle coming in an additional 10 pesos. So I don't know what the price is now, 40 pesos just to come here. So anyway, that's what we're talking about. Now, you might say, "Well, yeah, but we shouldn't talk about that. We shouldn't be thinking about that when we come to Mass." Of course we're thinking about that. That's our experience as we journey through time. And it is connected to what God is doing and what he has done. Of course it is. Everything is. The point is not to separate our faith from our everyday experience. The point is to show how our faith shines light on our everyday experience. That's what Jesus does when he walks with these two disciples, these two very discouraged disciples, along the road. He's walking with us on the road too. He's accompanying us, even if we are going in the wrong direction, even if we are talking about things much less important than the resurrection. If it's in our hearts, the Lord wants to know it. He wants to know what's important to us. And he wants us to know what's important to him. So this journeying together is really crucial for Easter life. Okay, you know what happens. There's a kind of liturgy that takes place, right? Liturgy of the Word, Jesus revealing to them the meaning of the Scriptures, and then liturgy of the Eucharist, just like we have at Mass. After we ponder the Word, then we celebrate the breaking of the bread. And that's when they recognize him in the Eucharist. That's when their eyes are opened. Once their eyes are open, meaning the eyes of their hearts, they no longer see him with the eyes of their heads, but they know that they are with him, and then they go running back to Jerusalem. Okay, so there's a lot we could ponder there, but I'd like to turn to this first reading, which is also a really profound event and a revelation. This is the story of the healing that Peter and John performed on a man who was crippled from birth. So let's consider the situation. First of all, the man, it says he's crippled from birth, and he's carried and placed at the gate of the temple every day. So this man is not just limping, he can't walk at all. He's carried to his place, and he's been like this his whole life. It doesn't say it in this reading, but a little further on in the text, it says that this man is over 40 years old. Which, it does, I don't know why that's cut out of the liturgy, but that number should jump out at us, right? 40 years. 40 years in the desert, right? 40 years journeying to the promised land, 40 days of Lent. This man is a Lenten figure. And he's still in Lent, even after Pentecost. Now, here he is sitting at the gate. It's called the Beautiful Gate. I don't know if he thought it was beautiful. He couldn't enter the temple because he was crippled. He was not allowed to enter the temple. He left at the gate. Maybe it was beautiful to look at, but for him, it was a barrier. Maybe this reading struck me because of what happened to me on Sunday. I had two masses in the parish in the morning. The second mass was 12:15. The church is, you know, air-conditioned church, so it's relatively comfortable, even in the middle of the day. And it was Easter Sunday, so a very joyful liturgies, many, many people sprinkling water, singing hallelujah. I came out of the church to walk home. The gate was locked. I'm standing there in the 2 o'clock in the afternoon sun, and there's nobody around. And I said, what is this? It's Easter Sunday. Here I am locked out of my own neighborhood. Anyway, so maybe that was to remind me of this man at the beautiful gate of the temple, but outside the temple. And he's 40 years old. He's been crippled for 40 years. Now, he almost certainly has heard about what happened on Pentecost. Because remember, Pentecost was a revolution. And 3,000 people were converted that very day. We heard about that yesterday at the preaching of Peter. So the word had spread for sure that something was going on. It doesn't mean that people understood it. But and people knew that Peter was a dynamic preacher by this time, because it only takes one day of preaching that converts 3,000 people to establish that something about this guy Peter is significant. So this man, this crippled man, had probably heard that, but he also knows it hasn't been of any benefit to him. And maybe people are speaking in tongues or whatever, happy about what happened, but doesn't change his situation. He's still in Lent. Or you could say he's still on Holy Saturday. Or maybe you could say he's like the two people walking to Emmaus who have heard about the empty tomb, but doesn't make any sense to them, and they can't figure it out, and they're not moved. Their life is not changed by the announcement of the good news. Well, along come Peter and John. Peter, the very one who's by this time at least identifiable as a significant person. They're going to the temple to pray. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's also a sign to us. 3 o'clock, the hour of the Passion, the hour of Jesus' death, the hour of mercy. And they don't have any money. So this crippled man wants money, because how else is he going to survive? Peter says, I have neither silver nor gold. Well, great. More tomb experiences, no money. But very quickly the situation changes, right? Even if Peter did have silver and gold and he gave it all to the man, it would be nothing by comparison to what happens now. He says, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk. He takes him by the hand, pulls him up, and the man is instantly cured. As instantly as Jesus rises up out of the tomb, you could see the shift here. This is made so dramatic because it's to remind us of the drama of the resurrection, the extraordinary change that takes place in the resurrection, which is what we're celebrating now. This isn't just historical accounts. This is what we're celebrating now in the octave of Easter, this dramatic change that is not based on how much money we have or don't have. How many people have silver and gold? In fact, Everybody has less silver and gold now than they had 2 weeks ago because we're spending all our money trying to buy gasoline or food. So, but even if we did have more money, it would mean nothing by comparison to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what he gives to the man. By the power of the name of Jesus, the crippled man is healed. Then everything is different, right? This is so beautiful. The man leaps up, stands up, walks around, and he goes into the temple. Now the gate is beautiful because now you can pass through it into the temple. Before, it wasn't so beautiful. It's like the tomb. What's beautiful about a tomb? It's dead end, ugly, cold stone. But once the stone's rolled away, wow, that's a beautiful sign, isn't it? An empty tomb, to those who have faith, is a beautiful sign of possibility, of hope, of new life. That's why very often in Easter cards and Easter decorations, they just show the empty tomb, maybe with an angel or two. But it's a sign that this is beautiful, this tomb, because there's life on the other side. That's the Easter proclamation. Okay, so he goes into the temple, walking and jumping and praising God. I'd love to have Hollywood make a movie out of this, because it would be great to see some very dynamic actor jumping around praising God. How could he contain himself? He's been crippled for 40 years. His whole life. He's never walked in his whole life. Now he's jumping around praising God. What a change. And this is what the people see. They didn't hear Peter say, I don't have any money, but I'll give you this in the name of Jesus. They didn't hear any of that. What they saw was the man who had always been crippled, always been begging, always outside the temple, now no longer crippled, no longer begging, and inside the temple. It's too obvious a change to ignore it. They recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened. Very strong Greek words there. Amazement and astonishment. It was overwhelming. What in the world has happened here? Now, that's where the reading ends. We'll be reflecting on the effect of this healing for the rest of the week. So we left Pentecost Day behind yesterday, but now for the rest of this week, we're going to be pondering the effect of this miraculous healing. But now, since we're here, we can reflect on this as a sign of our own Easter journey. We, in our sin condition, are like the crippled man, of course. We're crippled from birth. We're born with an original sin. And anybody who's reached age 40, which is, I think, probably most people here, not everybody, you know, but I mean, anyone who's had a few years and knows the experience of suffering and knows that experience of the tomb where it seems to be contradiction after contradiction, trial after trial, suffering after suffering, even lifelessness, challenges to our faith. But then we should also know the power of the name of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrection, which is applied to us, first of all with baptism, we celebrated on Sunday, the renewal of our baptism, and then with every experience of the sacraments, including right here this morning, when we celebrate the breaking of the bread. Who do we encounter in the breaking of the bread? Or whom do we encounter in the breaking of the bread? Jesus Christ, the same one who healed this crippled man. So we are not only the crippled man, we're also the healed man, healed by the power of Jesus Christ. And we are, maybe not physically, but spiritually, leaping and praising God, or we should be. So if you're not leaping in the octave of Easter, something wrong. Doesn't mean you have the emotions that this man had. I mean, emotions come and go. You might have been happier yesterday than today, or you might be happier tomorrow than today. That's not the issue. I'm talking about spiritual joy, which we should all have overflowing because of what we received from the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we keep singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Not because we feel good, but because we're spiritually walking and leaping and praising God and praising Him for the gift of the risen life.